Now, without further ado, we'll call upon our brother Phil.
Thank you, Brother Ryland. Good morning, brothers and sisters. I bring with you the greetings of your brothers and sisters and mine in Surrey, otherwise known as the Vancouver Ecclesia. So the Lord said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Can you say that? Can you say that about yourself? Make it personal? Can I? Something to think about, isn't it? Most of you will know that in the last while, for me, there have been some life-changing events, first-time experiences, maybe for you as well, changes that have either been part of who you are or brought upon you by your relationship or relationships. So understanding this statement, and that was the Apostle Paul, as you will well know, of being able to do all things through Christ who strengthens me, has become key to carrying on in strength and in hope. Being able to answer that question and believing the answer, because that's important too. We can say things, but we need to believe the answer for ourselves. It's personal, that kind of statement, isn't it? Very personal. And so when we stop and we say to Paul, well, hang on a minute, I can do all things. We might feel that maybe there's just a little exaggeration, you know, in writing. There's some hyperbole that goes into writing and it catches attention and it's helpful. Is it factual? All things. We won't go there, but over in 2 Corinthians, we're going to go to this one. Yeah, 2 Corinthians 11. I'd like you to come there with me because here is a taste from Paul of some of the all things that he experienced. And it's quite staggering, and you know the section of Scripture well, but it's quite staggering the things that Paul experienced in his life as part of the all things that he could do through the Lord who strengthened him. 2 Corinthians 11, and I'm in 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 11, verse 22 to start. Are they Hebrews? So am I. So here's a little bit of the boasting that's going on that Paul needed to catch the attention of the Corinthians. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? And here he goes. I speak as a fool. I am more in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequently, in deaths often. From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes, minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils of the city, in perils of the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, a life of peril, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, and he goes on, and besides the other things which come upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. the ecclesias were in his mind, and he was concerned about them. So these are, well, they're enough, aren't they, for us to feel that kind of, whoa, that's too much, Paul. But these are among the things, the all things that Paul could do through Christ who strengthened him. And he repeats these in 1 Corinthians 4 and again in 2 Corinthians and in other places. So we took that one-liner quote from Philippians chapter 4, and I'd like you to join me there because we'll look at a couple of verses in that chapter, because I want to just think about this all things that he says there in verse 13, I can do all things. And our reaction might be, well, you know, that's impossible for us who are of human stuff to really truly say we can do all things. That opening verse I read from our readings this morning sounded like one of those all things that our first reaction might be that it's impossible. It's impossible to do those kinds of things. Come with me in your mind to the Lord's comments about the camel going through the eye of the needle and the shock and disbelief that the disciples expressed. Who then can be saved? Nobody. It's impossible. And Christ's response is, with God, all things are possible. The impossible is possible with God. And that's exactly what Paul is telling us here about himself and by reference to us. Only now it's with Christ. And this is the transition of thinking that I'd like us to come out of the exhortation with this morning. With Christ, all things are possible. And so I ask you the question again. Is that the case with you? Is it with Christ, in Christ, that all things are possible? How does that happen? Well, we come back to that verse, and we find that word strengthens. I'm with the New King James. So it's all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I love this word because the reaction might be, you know, we do some exercise, we get strong. And it's a physical thing. And that's big in the world of today, isn't it? You know, you do your exercise, whatever it is, to strengthen your physical body, and that's going to be good for your mind, and all that goes together. But this is beyond that. So, again, I'm not the word study student, but this word means empowered. And it, I think, goes even beyond that. It means enabled. Think about that. If you're empowered or if you're enabled, it means that in some way you're stepping it up from what is the normal you, what is the capacity of what the normal you is, and it's being stepped up. You're being empowered. Sounds like what Paul might have been thinking, wasn't it? That in Christ, he's empowered. Couple of verses over in Timothy, again, we know them. I'm just going to take the time to turn it up and read a couple, turn them up and read a couple of them. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. So there was something about Paul before that wasn't enough. And in Christ, he was enabled. He was empowered. He was lifted above himself, and he was placed into the ministry. We'll come back to that in a second. So he doesn't leave that just with himself. Over a couple of pages to 2 Timothy in chapter 2, verse 1. And here he's speaking to Timothy. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And there's that strengthened word, that empowering word, that enabling word. And you know about Timothy, and you know the job he had to do and among the ecclesias, and you know the challenges that he had and the like. They were above and beyond what a young chap in his position in life, his stage of development, they were beyond what he would normally be able to respond to accomplish. He was enabled. So again, brothers and sisters and young people, we stop and say, you know, if Paul is saying that about himself and about Timothy, we're going to come back to this in a minute, that his pattern is our pattern. He calls us to take up his example. So how about you? Do you feel enabled in the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you feel somehow that being in Christ takes you to a place that's beyond yourself? Maybe just a little bit, or maybe a whole lot. Brother Stephen took part of my message this morning when he was quoting from the Gospel of John chapter 15. In verse 5, Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, mutual relationship, bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. And in a few verses before that, he says, well, you get pruned and you bear fruit. And then in verse 5, he steps it up. You bear much fruit when you are in him. That's where the fruit comes from, in association with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know that this is not kind of a spirit-moved, Holy Spirit hovering around and taking a hold of you kind of process. This is driven by a love of God's word, a prayerful love of God's word, and a ruminating on the things of the words of the Lord Jesus that empower us to be lifted up, to bear fruit, spiritual fruit, noticeable fruit. Back to Philippians chapter 4 and back into verse 12. And here's Paul giving us a little more help to flesh out this relationship that empowers us. So he's talking about himself. I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, to abound and to suffer need. First of all, note there that he says, I know and I have learned. So this isn't something that came naturally. It wasn't there at his birth. It's something that came by a process of gaining knowledge and an understanding. So it's that knowledge and understanding that has informed his behavior so that he can do these things. He can do these all things. And that knowledge and that learning comes from association with the word of Christ and the word of God. So we can do all things. I know how to abound. I've learned to be full, to be hungry, and to abound and to suffer need. That word abound means to live in prosperity. And just as a side, you'd say to yourself, well, when did you live in prosperity, Paul? He'd had all these other trials and difficulties in life, and there wasn't much sign of prosperity, was there? In order to pay the bills, he had to be a tent maker part of the time. So I wonder whether in that period of time when we'll come to it again in a minute, when the ABs in Jerusalem said, you're out of here, Paul, it's too much trouble to have you in town, and he was sent back to Tarsus. Paul's family, according to the commentators, was likely, because he was freeborn Roman citizen, likely a fairly well-off family. You know, he was going to the high-priced university in Jerusalem. So maybe in that period of time when he was back in Tarsus, he learned to live in prosperity. He says to Timothy, godliness with contentment is great gain. So in all of these changing circumstances, Paul is saying, I've learned to accept them. I've learned to be content. I've been empowered. I've been strengthened. by the Lord Jesus Christ, by the way, the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. The writer to the Hebrews says to be content with what you have. And that's Paul. And what he had was a whole life of experiences that came with his through his association with the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, we pause and we ask ourselves, okay, his life is full of drama that's far above what we would ever maybe want to experience or even dream of experience or in a nightmare think of experiencing. But nevertheless, there are things there that pattern, that reflect also the experiences we have in our lives. I'll hit that in a moment. But the question we ask ourselves, are we able to be content and to take this relationship with the Lord Jesus or through the Lord Jesus up to the level of bearing much fruit? And it's interesting, isn't there, that there's this little bit of tension there. Be content with the things that you have. Whereas, on the other hand, more is good if it's talking about spiritual fruit. Bear much fruit. So contentment is the fleshly side, the natural side. Be content with what you have. Don't keep aspiring to be bigger and better. But in Christ, we're going to be strengthened. We're going to be empowered to bear much fruit. Much fruit. So back to Philippians 4, now in verse 9. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do. And the God of peace be with you. So there's the first close evidence to the statement of Paul about I can do all things. That everyone that hears me and sees me can take an example from me because I've learned and received the things which you've learned. And notice he doesn't leave any room for escape here. You've learned, received, heard, and saw. And all this that has come from my example and my word, take it on yourself. And the God of peace, these do. So it's more than just a state of mind. It's action. And the God of peace will be with you. So there is a great reward to taking on this way of life that's in Christ, that's confident in his strength and his power. So just put a nail into that thought, back to 1 Corinthians 11, and it's in verse 1, which I think is part of chapter 10. And he's given a whole lot of instructions and guidance in the chapter before. And then he says, imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. So there we have it, brothers and sisters. He's saying, come along. Pick up and follow me. Recognize in your own life the possibilities. And we because we're made of failing mortal stuff, human stuff, we keep forgetting it. So it's something that we need to be reminding ourselves of all the time, to be empowered, to be enabled through our association with the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm just going to take us for a few minutes back through some of Paul's experiences that he referred to in the Corinthians, that all these experiences he had. Let's just check in with a few of them. The account in the Acts and some of the epistles doesn't even come close to identifying specifically the list that he provides there to the Corinthians. So what I'd like us to do is, some of these events are quite dramatic and you say, well, that's never going to happen in my life. Well, maybe that specific physical type of event won't, but translate it, convert it into the kinds of experiences that you might have and how you can find a way to be lifted up and to respond because of the example of Paul and the Lord Jesus. So first of all, Paul is confronted on the Damascus Road by the Lord Jesus, and he learns, by reference to what Jesus says, that persecuting the followers of Jesus, the brothers and sisters of Jesus, is the same as, or as our Australian brothers would say, tantamount to persecuting Christ. How about us? Have we caught that message? That behavior to, and this is Brother Stephen again, from, he had this ahead of me at Sunday school, behavior with among ourselves can be equivalent to the behavior of Paul toward the followers of the Lord Jesus before his conversion. So again, it's a question that's really worthwhile to convert to something personal. And Ananias goes on listening to the Lord Jesus, and no doubt he passed it on to Paul. And Jesus said, I will show him how many things he must suffer for my namesake. Well, we saw a list of those things. So Paul had already in his kind of job description, suffering for the Lord Jesus. I don't know what kind of suffering you experience in your life. I've got a little sense of the kind of suffering that I'm experiencing in my life. That was what Paul said. That was what Paul was told by Ananias. This is the path. This is the road. But Paul was enabled to be lifted from the burden of that road to serve and to love. So in Damascus, there was this plot to kill Paul when he thought that his switching up his message would be received by the ones that he wanted to talk to. And there was this plot to kill him. So he'd come into town, the leader of a band of rogues, and he goes out of town in a basket with a solo trip up to Jerusalem. So that's kind of a change, isn't it? So again, we ask ourselves, you know, we had this way of life and this exciting approach to things with folk around us. And then circumstances change. And I'm furtively making my way up to Jerusalem so that my old buddies don't see me. Again, a question to say, is that happening? Does that happen from time to time in your life? And how do you respond to it? Can you be strengthened through that? That would be emotionally, that would be, from a pride perspective, that would be devastating. Paul can do all things through Christ, and he's just learning what these things are. So Barnabas introduces Paul to the disciples in Jerusalem. And again, you know, there he is. He's like Sean. There's going to be preaching going on here. And he gets into it. But the folks on the other side of the fence in Jerusalem were having none of it. So that the city is about to be in an uproar. And Paul has his first experience with the arranging brothers. And they say, you're out of town, brother, because you're too much trouble. You're going home for a while to cool down. Sorry, I'm putting some of my own words in there. And just think, brothers and sisters, he's been called by the Lord to witness, and he gets up to the center of where this witness from which it emanates, and they kick him out. Not for just a week or two, for quite a while. And he has to learn, like Moses, that there's another part in his training so that he can do all things through Christ who strengthens him. Question for us too. You know, we really got excited about something and circumstances changed on us. Maybe not of our own making at all. And we're doing something different. Not really what we'd planned. And we just learn to do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We pick it up. I don't know what Paul did in Tarsus. He was there when Barnabas came back to get him later on. So later on, they're in Iconium, and there's a violent moment, and they're going to stone Paul. He's going to be he's preaching there. He doesn't face it. He skips town. So there's, again, Paul's serving the Lord and in a different way. Now leave town and go somewhere else when this trouble arises. Wisdom factor comes in there. Was there an intervention by the Lord at that moment? I think maybe not. It was just, we move on. Christ had given some instructions to the apostles about that kind of thing. If the city doesn't receive you, shake the dust off and go to the next one. He went to the next one, didn't he? In Lystra. And this time they did stone him. But what happened? They left him for dead. They're thinking, we got him. It's all over. And he stands up, joins the other believers. Was he resurrected? Was he just a tough guy? He could do all things. He could take the bruises and he could carry on. A bit later, he's intent on going to Asia to preach. I want to go up there. The Lord intervenes. And you wonder, well, what kind of intervention was that? And he had to sit there and wait for a message. And then there's this dream, come over to Macedonia. And he gets over there and he's preaching. And this slave girl that he heals makes trouble. And he ends up in jail with Silas. And this one I find quite beautiful, and I'm sure you do as well. So they've got their stripes on them, and they're in the stocks, and they're no doubt physically feeling horrible. So you got to get mind over matter, and then they're singing, and then there's an earthquake. So just think, they sang the Philippian jailer to Jesus. Think about that. They sang him to Jesus. That's a little bit above and beyond what you might think you're capable of. Paul was empowered by his love for the Lord and his relationship with his fellows. Just a bit later than, well, again, we had this Paul before Felix. So a little bit later is before Agrippa. The account in Acts says that they came in with great pomp. And this is going to be a hearing. So they're posh people are over there, and Paul, you can speak for yourself. Have you ever had an experience like that where you're, I mean, no doubt he'd given it some thought, but all of a sudden you're in front of, you know, the big shots. I can do all things through Christ who enables me. And Paul spoke to that group who came in great pomp. Paul's on the ship, and it's probably going to go down. That's what everybody thought. And the angel says, for the sake of you, Paul, everybody's going to be saved. The ship's going to run aground. And again, we ask ourselves, okay, we're going to be saved from this, but the consequences of the storm and the situation don't change. It's just that in his head now, he's got a message that you are going to be saved from this. You're going to be shipwrecked on an island. You know, convert that kind of message from the Lord. And he shared that with the people on the ship. So it wasn't just something that he said, okay, thank you, Lord, and I'm going to survive this. He entered into giving advice, sound advice, so that the others could actually achieve what the Lord had promised, what the angel had promised. So again, I ask you, brothers and sisters, and myself, you know, for Paul, that was like a short-term life-altering event. Can we, through prayer and help from others, or connections with others, can we face events? The consequences remain. They don't just evaporate because the Lord says, I'm going to save you from them. The consequences continue, sometimes for the rest of our lives. But can we keep on by faith to be strengthened by the Lord Jesus Christ? Paul, and as we alluded to earlier, he said, and the deep concern for all the ecclesias is on me daily. And you will know, of course, that as we read the epistles, he's aware of this. And I think this is the part of Paul's life where the things that the Lord brought upon him brought some joy to him. So to the Ephesians, he says, I've heard of your faith and love. And that made him feel good. I bow my knees to the Father. So he's taking his concern for the ecclesia to the Lord in prayer, to the Father in prayer. Same thing to the Thessalonians. You're in my prayers daily. I'm not with you physically, but I'm with you in spirit. He says to the Philippians, my beloved and longed for, making requests for you with joy. So that's the ecclesias, and his care for them reached right into their lives, their spiritual lives. His care for them involved prayer for them. He had the same relationship with some individuals. In Romans, there's Amplius, and he calls him my beloved. So somewhere there was a connection here that this brother was very special to Paul. Timothy, as we know, is described by Paul as a beloved son. And Paul is filled with joy in this association. Philemon, a beloved friend. And that association brought Paul great joy. Those all seem to be sort of kind of warm. The personal ones, two or three there, are kind of warm ones. And the ecclesial ones, well, you might wonder, and particularly the one that comes out at the end of 1 Corinthians, my love be with you all. And some of those messages that he gave to the ecclesia in that first letter, that was like a tough love, but his love was for them all. So how do we convert this to ourselves? To you and me. Some of you write letters. I know my Uncle Mac is a letter writer from 75 years ago. Telephone calls, maybe that's getting out of fashion now. There's other forms of social media that enable associations with people, and Facebook was mentioned this morning as a way of sharing, a way of learning. Unfortunately, a lot of it's trivial, but nevertheless, the associations are there. My question for you and for me is, do we take all of these associations up to that next level? Do we find ourselves enabled in Christ to lift them up to the spiritual level, as Paul describes, my care for the ecclesias, your care for your friends, your families, those that receive your messages, those whose messages you receive and you feel moved to respond in a particularly helpful way, not just to show what my place looks like when they've showed you what their place looks like. I'm thinking, brothers and sisters, we lift this up to the next level so that the strength that we have in Christ becomes evident in our associations together. Well, Paul had a unique and intense personal relationship with Christ. Yes, indeed, that's true. And he calls out to us to imitate him. Believe that Christ and his word will enable us also. And the question that we all need to ask is, do we believe this to be true always, all the time? I had the opportunity a few months back to share a day of touring around Vancouver with a brother and sister visiting the area that I had met previously. It was a very special opportunity to be with them for the day. And at the end of the day, we were having our dinner in White Spot, and it was one of those hugely hot days in Vancouver, so it was just delightful to get into the restaurant, only they had the air turned down so much that we're shivering there. So we were having a great conversation over dinner. We're talking about, at one point, the things related to Scripture and the events around us and the coming of the Lord, all those good things that Christadelphians include as part of, you know, any kind of conversation. Do we? Any kind of lengthy conversation anyway. And I just had this urgency in my in me at that moment. Just have a little drink here. I said to the brother, may I ask you a question? Phil, go for it. What is the Lord Jesus doing right now? Right now, this moment. And he paused for a minute and he looked at me and he said, everything. I said, do you mean he's hearing our prayers? Yes. Do you mean he's guiding the angels in the ways of providence to influence our lives? Yes. Do you mean that he's influencing the affairs of the nations in preparation for his coming? Yes. And that includes the affairs of Israel in preparation for his revealing to them? Yes. And I just pestered him with a whole series of questions right down to the end of the millennium. And he said, yes, 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 yes. And frankly, I just have to share with you that my reaction was, but I am too conservative to do that, was to jump up in the restaurant and say, yes! Do you believe that? Do you believe that answer that he gave me? Question, good question, isn't it? Because it really does impact the way we pray, the way we think. So here we are, brothers and sisters, around the table. And it's the same Lord Jesus Christ that enabled and strengthened Paul as went to the cross, who lived a life of perfection in dedication to his Father. He was strengthened by his Father. That's a whole other discussion. And he gave his body to the cross and his blood to be shed on the cross for the love of the Father and for the love of all those that he came to save. And we remember that this morning as we come together every Sunday. And back to Paul. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me.